get down to the labor of our life, this being the Labor Day weekend, we see that most of our effort is trying to get something, make something happen, coax something from our external world in order for us to feel that our life is working. And so I'm wanting to talk today about how to manifest a greater good in alignment with brain science, with quantum science, with spiritual principles, with the teachings of Jesus, because that's a part of our job in terms of creating a world that works for everyone. That when we learn how to become our own kind of shaman, so to speak, when we learn that we can actually manipulate and alter what we're having as our life experience by simply coming from a different place from within, then all of a sudden we feel a sense of empowerment that while our life looks and feels very crazy and difficult at times, we don't feel so victimized by what we're having. We feel like we can work with it. I can work with this. And if we can have that sense that we can work with something, we can have that sense of personal empowerment that gives us access to a depth of being able to take the next deeper steps, and that is aligned with the creative process that is bringing forth our life experience, regardless whether or not that life lives as a sense of our greater good or the life that lives as our yesterday self. The creative process still works exactly the same. And I want to reveal, show you, explain what that creative process is, because when we understand the why something is important, the how becomes so much easier. And so that's what we're going to be doing today, is we're going to be looking at this whole idea of if what is needed, if part of our greater good requires more money, let us just say that there is a capacity of the universe to provide that, but we have to align with the dimension of the creative process that enables us to bring forth that. We might be thinking in terms of greater health. Okay, let's put that on the table, and let's say that the same process enables us to draw into our life greater health. If we want more fulfilling relationships, if we want to attract a life partner into our life, the same principles apply. If we want to, you know, climb up the ladder, have some kind of fulfillment or accomplish some great world work, there is a dimension of this process that can make that happen as well. And for the purpose of this talk today, I'm going to pick one that I'm going to, it's going to be my thing that I'm going to manifest, that I'm wanting to manifest, and I'm going to explain the principles that I'm going to use to manifest this. That's hangar space. Because I've just finished my airplane, my airplane's all built, and it's just in pieces, it's just in parts. I have to put the whole thing together, and I can't do that without a hangar, and then I can't offer rides at the Holly Berry Ball until my plane's built. I can't fundraise, have opportunities to raise more funds for Unity Spiritual Center because I can't give rides and do aerial photography, things like this. So we need to manifest a hangar. Okay, and so we'll talk about what I'm going to be doing to kind of bring this about and look at the principles that are involved, and then you can just, wherever you are in your own journey, and everybody's at a different place, and maybe this talk for you today isn't necessarily landing on some deeper need of your deeper self, but I'm wanting you to kind of be with the principle of what this is about. Maybe for you it's not about manifesting a greater good, but it's just finding a sense of peace, a sense of being able to settle into a moment knowing that all things are working together for good. Maybe that's what it is, but the same principles apply. So here we go. I'm going to share a movie, I think. Close your eyes while I look and see what I got next. Okay. I'm going to share a movie. I'm letting the sound people know that the movie's going to come up. We may need to adjust the volume on the sound. But it's a movie about Dr. Joe explaining how this process begins to be important to us with respect to how we interact with the quantum field and create our own personal reality. And it's important for us to know this and for us to have an understanding as to what is the mechanics, the circuitry behind how we manifest our own personal reality and the things that we're experiencing in our life. And then I'm going to unpack what he has to share, and so it can be pulled into a spiritual practice. So here we go. See what you think.
How many people in this audience actually believe in the idea that the way you think has some effect on your life? That your thoughts create your life? You believe that, yes? So your brain, according to neuroscience, is organized to reflect everything you know in your life. Your brain is a record of your environment. It's a record, an artifact of your past. So if you believe this, then does your environment control your thinking, or does your thinking control your environment? So then, as the environment turns on different circuits in your brain, you begin to think equal to your environment. As you see the same people and go to the same places and do the same things at the same time, it's the external environment that's turning on different circuits in your brain, causing you to think equal to everything that you know. And as long as you think equal to everything that's familiar or known to you, what do you keep creating more of?
Same
life. Now, the quantum law is still applying to you. You're just thinking equal to everything that you know, and you keep creating more of the same. To change, to truly change, is to think greater than your environment. So can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses yet, but you've thought about enough times in your mind that your brain is literally changed to look like the event has already happened? Neuroscience says it's absolutely possible. Now, your personality creates your personal reality. That's it. It's that simple. And your personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel. So the present personality who's sitting here today, you, has created the present personal reality called your life. Would you agree? Would you also agree then, if you wanted to create a new personal reality, that on a fundamental level you would have to change the thoughts that you are thinking, the behaviors and habits that you're demonstrating, and the emotions that you've memorized that's become part of your identity? And most people try to create a new personal reality as the same personality, and it never works.
So what we're wanting to begin to acknowledge is that in order to have a different experience, in order to create a greater good in our life, we have to actually, what happened to my, okay, we have blackness here. Let's see what happened. Okay, hang on a second. Never mind, everything's okay. My bad. So we need to understand that part of the effort is that we have to alter the way we think and the way we make meaning in order to create a different way of being with what we're having, in order to have a open up a different potentiality in our life. Otherwise, the same thing gets created over and over. Can you see how that's important? But not only that, that's one thing. To be able to open up that portal, we have to kind of put a different head on. As Paul says, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to kind of shift out of that self system. And here's the slide. We have to shift out of our habits of being if we're to step into a creative process and engage the dimension of ourself that can override this circuitry. You see, this representation just illustrates the circuitry that is a mind-body has a mind-body component, but the circuitry itself creates a kind of self-system that we have to transcend if we are to override the circuitry that has us replicating our current life patterns when we are unconscious. And so in order to override that circuitry, we have to work around some of the obstacles that are inherently a part of simply the mechanics of perception and the way in which our body-mind operates. And so part of what I'm wanting to talk about is that workaround. How can we work around our habits of being? If I'm in the habit of being not enough, how can I manifest more money in my life? Well, we do have to address the habit of being in not enough, and that's what we do in the cue process. But we also have to condition our circuitry to operate and have the experience of being able to create other habits that are in alignment with the creative process that brings forth our greater good. And so to that aim, here are the principles that we need to kind of keep in mind. First of all, we need to understand, as Jesus says to his disciples, lift up your eyes, for the fields are already white under the harvest, which means that already there is in the field of infinite possibilities is the very thing that we want to draw into our life. We have to know that that is the foundation, that anything that exists in form has come from the field, has come from this dimension that Jesus describes as the kingdom of God. And as we recognize that it's already there, it's just that it's in the field, and that the field is where it comes from, then we'll detach from focusing on the form, the thing itself, because the thing itself is an effect. It finds us when we are in alignment with that potentiality and connected to it and sustain that connection. Albert Einstein said that the field is the sole governing agency of the particle. The field controls all of the things that we have as our life experience. That's why Jesus says that for us to engage in that intent, to seek it, to live from that place, that is that dimensional of ourselves, within ourselves. And so as we look at the field of infinite possibilities, we need to understand that the first step is to know that whatever is our greater good, and we have to have some sense of knowing what we want. So I'm going to say, I want a hangar space. Okay, you can fill in your own blank. And so we just need to know that in the field, it's not in a visible state. Someone once said, only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible. And so seeing this field of potentiality and knowing how we can manifest from that field enables us to, once we understand the mechanism of how this thing works, then we can get with the practice itself. But this is about understanding the mechanism, then we'll get to the practice. So if this field is the kingdom of God, the field of potential, then all possibilities exist, including what we're currently having. That exists in the field. We just drew it out of the field because of our limiting belief, if we're dealing with the possibility of not enough. And so now we're going to focus on, let's say, we're going to focus on that money. It's in the field, all the money that we need. We're going to focus on, in the field, there is the perfect health, all that we need to bring forth what we need in that department. There is the perfect relationship. There is the perfect sense of fulfillment career. And there's my hangar space, too. It's in the field. And all I have to do is know that it's there, because that's the first step. That's the first step. And I have to be very clear that that's sort of what I'm wanting to bring forth. Okay, so once we're clear about that and we understand that, okay, the whole process now requires that I abandon looking out there and begin to do the creative process, begin to do the practice within. And so I have to begin to develop a relationship with the interior of myself. And I'm not talking about, you know, just thinking differently. I'm talking about being able to observe my self-system and my patterns and seeing what runs me. And that's why the Q process is so important. And then to begin to see that I can detach my awareness from the forms of my life, what I'm having, and begin to use my awareness to decide what I'm wanting to attract to myself. And as I understand that this is a principle, I become really clear with respect to what it is that is pulling me, and it's connected to my passion. It's connected to what is going to open me up. And it doesn't matter what it is that you choose to manifest. It's you just demonstrating that you have the capacity to bring forth the greater good. That's a part of your training that is needed right now. We need to understand that we need to train ourselves to be able to create our own state independent of what we're having, so that our own state becomes the governing agency over what becomes of us, as opposed to what our life is trying to reflect. And so this is what Dr. Joe means about being greater than our environment. And when we understand that thoughts kind of are the transmission of our intent. And when we understand that our felt connection to that is what draws it into our life, then we have to create a connection, a sustained, elevated emotional connection to that very thing that we want to draw into our life. And we cannot separate ourselves from it. Because if we do, we lose it. And then something else takes over. So just a little bit more understanding about this field thing, because sometimes we're just not used to hearing it this way and don't necessarily come to church to hear about quantum physics. But Albert Einstein would argue that that's probably a pathway to God if you just look closely enough. So the field is all about energy. It's about information. It's about intelligence. There's no time. It's the dimension of ourself that's invisible. You can't touch it, but it's the dimension out of which all arises. It's source. And the forms of life are the effects of that field, the matter, the energy, the time, space. There's also polarity, duality. There's also conditions like separation. And so we're operating, and this is the dimension of our entire being. And so if we want to create a different form in our life, we have to work with the field. That's the point I wanted to make. And also to understand that it is our feeling that connects us to what we're trying to draw into as form in our life. And so looking at now, okay, you're hearing, I'd be clear as to what it is that I'm wanting to bring forth. I have to feel a sense that this is, I'm connected to it, but here's the next step. And that is, we have to feel connected to that greater good as if it is happening now, so that our brain doesn't know the difference between what we're trying to generate as our felt internal state and what it is experiencing out of all of its inputs. Because our brain doesn't know the difference between an internal input and an external input as we begin to dimensionalize this felt sense of what we're connected to. And as we don't place any, as we don't separate ourselves from it through asking the question, how is this going to come to be? Or when is this going to happen? Can you see how those two questions automatically separate yourself from being connected to that in the now moment? So the next important thing is that we need to create a memory of this future that we're trying to draw into our life. And in order to create a memory of the future, you have to, it's almost as if you're, if you remember the to done list talk, it's almost as if you write a description of something as if it's already happened, and then you move towards that event, experiencing the felt sense of how it has been completed in its most optimistic and opportune fashion. In a very similar way, we're trying to stay connected to something that is in the field. There's nothing that's pending other than our welcoming it into our life. In order for that to happen, we have to create a memory of that possibility and bring it into our consciousness and fool our brain, trick our brain into believing that it is what we're having now. That's the workaround. And the things that help us sustain that workaround are mind movies. For instance, a mind movie, we've talked about mind movies, and we've kind of gone in cycles with the mind movies, because this is, you kind of have to know the kind of where the mind movie process fits into the transformative process. A mind movie is a way of really creating those elements of the felt sense, the image, the clarity, the sense of welcoming this into your life, the sense that helps you transcend your own sense of not enough, because you see that this is something that's for you and is something that you want to bring forth. And so if you're interested in kind of re-engaging your own effort to create a mind movie, Karen Dunmore, Karen, where are you? Stand up so we can see you. Karen uses mind movies, and she wants to help you create your own mind movie for creating your own greater good. So if you would like to avail yourself, contact Karen. She'll help you out. And then there's all Dr. Joe's stuff. If you go on his website, you can get these meditations that help you reinforce what I've just said and helps you listen every day to remind yourself of the principles. of how we really engage this creative process so that we begin to retrain that circuitry that defines us. We still have to work that circuits. We still have to create habits, and then we have the habit of being and forming our habit of doing and habit of having and habit of feeling and habit of believing and habit of perceiving and habit of sensing. All of these things begin to shift when we begin to create from the inside out rather than having that self-system run from the outside in. You have to try it, and you have to kind of experience it and play with it. And I know many of you are already experiencing it happening. I know many of you are because you tell stories, you tell us about what's going on. And it's just a matter of being in the practice, but you just can't try it like a vitamin. Okay, I'll see what happens today. It has to become a way in which you recondition your body to a different mind. And until the body gets the message that, oh, we don't have to feel not enough anymore because we're so enjoying this welcoming of this greater good, until that flips, that won't flip all by itself. You have to do the deeper work. So when, don't ask the question, you know, when's this going to happen? Don't set time limits. Now, there's a different process for things that have to happen at a certain time. This is not that process. So don't set a process when you're wanting to work on dimensionalizing something that doesn't exist in the world. But yet, let the when be in God's time. And don't ask the question, how is this possible? Because both these questions take you out of your connection to the field. They place you directly into the form. Can you feel that shift? And so, what if we just eliminated those two elements of how we work with our lives? Well, we can't because we have responsibilities. We live in this world. But when it comes to this deeper work with the dimension of ourself, we have to cast these human needs aside for a greater purpose. And I think that's the end of all my slides, and I've just run out of... Oh. So here's the thing. I know what I wanted to talk about. I want to finish up with just exactly what I'm doing. So I've been, as many of you knew, I was able to get my wings a few months ago. And I had to manifest the money. That was $10,000. It just didn't happen out of the sky. I didn't want to use my credit card. And the wings lived secondary. You know, we had to pay off other stuff. So it wasn't like I could just kind of have my wings and now I get to manifest a hangar. No, we had to, over the last year and a half, had to manifest a lot of things to shift our state in order for the wings to be in integrity with our financial state. So here's a picture of the plane in our garage, and there it is with the propeller, the engine runs, and there's me kind of working on the last wing, and now that's the picture of what it's going to look like. And we have some property in Kettle Falls, and we'll just put a little landing strip, and there we go. Okay, so now what we need to do is we need to manifest a hangar space. Okay, so how am I going to do this? Okay, well, I'm already immersed in how it feels to be in the experience of, bless you, building the airplane. So I don't have, there's no sense of worrying about generating that. And I have to have a clarity about what it is that I'm wanting. I'm wanting a space. I don't have to have my own space. I just need a space in which I can complete the project, do my taxi testing, get it airworthiness, FAA, sign off on it, and then that phase will be done. But in order for that to happen, I have to kind of be very, very clear and know that that's finding me. It's in the field. I don't have to question it or doubt it. I know a hangar's space is going to find me. I just don't know when or how. But I don't need to know that. And if I don't go there, I amplify what has to happen. Now, if that's all there was to it, we would be done, but there's just a couple more things to make this talk complete. And that is, first of all, I need to reiterate that we have to focus on the field, not on the form. And we can understand how Jesus would admonish us. Take no thought for your life. This is why. He wanted to gift his disciples with a capacity to transcend the limits of self system. And so he wanted the disciples, if we abandon trying to fix the form, what are we left with? We have to interact with the field. And that's what I'm inviting you to welcome, is abandoning trying to fix the form and opening yourself to being guided to begin to interact with the field, because that's what's going to help the world. All right, so how do we manifest a greater good? Okay, get your cameras out. I'll take a picture of this next slide. Here it is. Okay, focus on the feeling of being in the experience of your greater good right now. So you need to stay connected to the feeling. And you just whatever you need to do, you just have to stay connected to the feeling of, I'm already in this experience of my greater good. I can see what that is. I can feel it. And I am basking in it. It may not be in this moment, but it doesn't have to be in the moment. I don't need it for it to be in the moment. I need it for it to find me. Here I am. I welcome it. And then the next thing is to abide in that awareness, because we have to maintain it. It's out there. And we can't engage in any behavior that doubts that. No behavior that doubts that. Then we have to feel or link the feeling to an icon, some representation. The icon can be a mind movie that has embedded in it a song that helps amplify the feeling, that has embedded in it subliminal programming that helps rewire your thinking. And so there are technologies that can help us do this if we want to leverage that. We need to condition our body mind to stay connected to the felt experience of our greater good, because we have to override the conditioning of our body, mind. The chemistry of our not enough has to kind of be dealt with. So we have to create the chemistry of our passion as being the chemical dissidence within our body that we're trying to retrain. We're trying to recondition our body to a different emotional state. We need to guard against any attention to how or when it will happen. And finally, and this is important too, and I'm going to end with this. You need to begin to, while I know that my hanger is out there and I'm drawing it to my life, I still have to follow the breadcrumbs. So I still have to, maybe someone will hear this talk and they think, oh, I know somebody who has a hanger space. Or maybe just like what happened yesterday, Jane and I were at our property in Kettle Falls, and we happened upon our neighbor who we hadn't introduced ourselves or met for 7 years since we've owned the property. And in our conversation, we mentioned that we had a plane. And he said, well, there's an airstrip right there. 500 feet away, there's an airstrip. We didn't even know about it for 7 years. And so I don't know if that's where the hanger is going to be, but the point is that that's a breadcrumb. And so I begin to allow that fascination, that feeling, that wonderment begin to combine with all the feelings. And that's it. It's just that simple. But it has to be repeated, and you have to sustain it. And you need to pick something that's easy for you to sustain in the beginning. So you demonstrate, oh, this is how it works. And once you see it works, then you can replicate it. And then you can use the same principle for other things. And we can build upon this conversation more as more and more of us get into this kind of, this dimension of our spiritual practice. God bless you. Thank you.
Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names of God and the many paths of God, for we know that there's only one power and one presence, one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anybody who might be here for the first time If this is your first time visiting with us, and if you feel comfortable, we'd love to have you raise your hand, and our ushers will give a gift packet of information to you. Got some right over here? Several. There you go, we got several people. Let's give them a big hand. And what you'll find is on the outside of the packet, there's a form that you can fill out to be added to our mailing list for our weekly e-news update and our quarterly newsletter. And if you're interested, just fill it in, drop it in the love offering bag as it comes around instead of feeling like you have to give a donation thing. Also, after the service, you can take this packet to our barista stand and get a free latte. You can also take it to the bookstore and get a free copy of today's service. If you have any questions, you can ask any members of our welcome team. They're the ones with the